Psalm 14. Psalm 14. Amen. Amen. It's good to be back. Psalm 14. I'll just preface this by saying this will be a series. I already know it already. And so I haven't figured out the series name, title. But there's so much nowadays. It seems like every time I get in now, I'm finding a series. There's a lot in there. Older I get, I don't know about everybody else, the older I get, I realize how much I'm not doing. Or I probably could say it this way, just to be honest. The older I get, the more I realize how much of a rebel I am to just obeying the Word of God. The natural man rebels. It's just a natural tendency to just push back, fight back, and not succumb, I guess you could say, to the Spirit's desire for us to yield to Him. And He does it just like a parent does. He doesn't want us to get into a ditch. And I'm seeing more and more, the older I get, keep using this term, there's a lot of people in a ditch today. And it's not just in the world. There's a lot of church folks in the ditch. And amen. Does the amens work today? Okay, I'm going to need some help this morning, all right? Because if I was out there, I'd be saying amen to that truth. And and it's not just the world nowadays. I'm noticing there's a lot of folks in church that are just, they're just missing it, rebellious. We're living in a day that's very unique now. It's not unique that God didn't know it, but it's unique to us, and we're justifying it. We're justifying it. We don't see Him for who He is, and when we do, it changes things. But I want to read a verse of Scripture. I want to revisit something I've looked at. I'm sure I've touched on it here. I know I have. I don't have it in my files that I did, but I know I did some way, somehow. But I've been looking at this recently just for myself. Most of my series, most of my studies are for me. Now, if you can see yourself in that, that's great. But I don't mind you sipping out of the saucer of my mistakes. Is that okay? I know most folks in here, religious folks have a tendency to want to make everybody think they're great. And they will go to Facebook to do it. I mean, they will make sure that they create a platform to make sure that they're great and everything else. And it's just not me. I'm not going to do that because I know I'm not great. And so if I can just take some of my mistakes and share it with somebody else, my boys heard a lot of stories this week, probably stories they shouldn't have heard. And I look back at it and reflect it. And, I think anybody that's older in here has got kids, grandkids, you don't want them to make the same mistakes you do. And so I don't want to. I don't want anybody that make the same mistakes I did. And if there's something I can share, then so be it. But I want to look at something. I know it's going to be a series already, and you'll pick up on it after a while what it is, but I think it's very important. It's very imperative in the day that we live in, and I could use several illustrations from this weekend. But I won't. But I want to lay a foundation for a verse of Scripture. It's a topical thought. It's found in chapter 14 of the Psalms and verse 1. I may read the whole thing, but I want to come back and highlight one, and then I want to look at other places throughout the Scripture. David wrote this psalm, and he says in Psalm 14, verse 1, he says, "The fool hath said in his heart." Sometimes you don't even have to say it. It's just there. And sometimes what we say in our hearts never reflected. Well, it is. We don't think it's reflected in words, but it is. A picture of the Bible, or a picture, as someone said, not the Bible, a picture can paint 1,000 words. Sometimes a picture of our life and the things that we do, just one that sticks out in my mind. We were fishing yesterday, and there was this older man, and there was a part of me that just said, man, he should have thought about this. He should have thought this out. And we were coming in to fish in another spot, and it was a little bit of a windy day, and we weren't out where we were going to go because of the weather and the wind. And here he was, and we just kind of saw him, and he's got a pontoon boat. Probably, he had to be at least in his 70s. And he's just, you're watching this boat, and it just keeps banging against Some would think of it as riprap, but it's just a rock shore and it goes up to the road. And he's just banging. And them pontoons, they're not very thick. We were kind of looking at him for a while, and I was going, man, yeah. The captain said, yeah, I think he's in rough shape. My boy said they're in rough shape. And we go over there, and he's just banging against the rocks, man, banging against the rocks, motors up. And he has somehow or another didn't think this through. Let's just put it like that. And he had wrapped the anchor to the boat around the propeller of the boat and then cut the line with the propeller, but he couldn't, because of his age, get out there to get the rope to pull the anchor up. And so there he was, and people drove by him, and he's just banging against the rocks and banging against the rocks. And we went over, and it was, he wasn't thinking about it. He really didn't think it out. And I think it was very illustrative in that a lot of times, and I almost said young people, but it's all of us. We do not think out the consequences of our decisions. And we don't look at the things we do or say today and what's in there. The heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And we're to, what was the guardian's verse? What is that again? Keep thy heart with all diligence. We're living in a day where we look at the other ones and they say, man, they're just not doing right. While we're not keeping our heart. But somehow or another, because we go to church, we have a little umbrella of Christianity, we think we're better off than they are. But the Bible here, David said, who made was foolish, can I use that word, in many aspects in his life, and knew better. We can all be guilty of it. He said, the foolish said in his heart, there is no God. Now, he's saying that, and I'll replace God with, there is no consequences. And that man didn't think of the consequences. And we many times don't think of the consequences. He said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Now, David's saying they are. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. Now he includes himself. He starts realizing it. There's none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And the whole emphasis, the whole impetus is that God is the one that knows the end from the beginning. We desperately need him in our lives. Right. Whew, boy, it's going to be rough this morning, man. Is the pause because we're waiting to see whether we agree? I mean, maybe it takes a couple days to get in the way. There should be an automatic agreement. We've gotten to this place in church where we don't think we're any bad as anybody else. We're good, we're good. Laodicean to the core. We have need of nothing. And we can say, oh, and boy, what better time than to look in society and say, man, they're being foolish. Man, they're being foolish. While Paul said to the church, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to you saying. And the knowledge of God shows us, hey, I don't want to go down this road. If that man had more knowledge of what he's doing, or at least understanding of the consequences of his actions, then he would do it more circumspectly. Man, I don't know if as I've gotten older, whether I would want to be on a boat by myself. There's a lot of things that can take place in a boat by yourself. On the water, you can fall over. I mean, there's accidents can happen at any time. And a lot of times we in our own lives think we can walk by ourselves. Do you think that the amount of people that are not here in church that could be in here in church don't think that they can do it by themselves? No, I got this. I can do it by myself. I don't need church. I don't need somebody to get on the boat with me. I don't need to have somebody help me with this. I can make this on my own. You know what he's saying? He's being foolish. Because we sing the song, I need thee every hour. And then we act like we really don't. We only want God. Can we just be honest this morning? We only want him when we have the trouble. If that man would have realized and thought, you know, while I'm out today, the water's a little choppy, I'm by myself, I'm older, maybe I ought to take somebody with me. How many days, spiritually speaking, do we wake up and say, you know, I'm getting a little older nowadays, and maybe I need to take God with me today. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. It's amazing how, can I use this term, foolish we can get. Because we don't understand the consequences of our actions. We that are older many times, and I don't say this anymore, we that are older look at the young people and say, ah, boy, they only knew. And how many people I watch with gray hair. I'm almost to the persuasion the gray-haired man and woman nowadays is more nonchalant as a young person. And I say this because they know better. They've seen enough. They've experienced enough. They ought to say, no, I need God. The young person hasn't understood that, doesn't experience that. He doesn't have that knowledge. And he's looking at us to see if we're going to walk circumspectly, if there's going to be a fear of the Lord, if there's going to be a, you know, man, he just seems like, I look around sometimes and I look at church attendance and I say, man, they're being foolish. They've gotten caught up too much in themselves and they think they can make this on their own. Can I say this? You don't have to be a lost person to be a fool. I told somebody the other day, you don't have to be lost to be carnal. There's more people that are carnal, that are spiritual sometimes than are lost. Why? Because they know better and they don't do it. David is expounding upon this. He said, I looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Our number one responsibility this morning and before this morning is to seek God. God, there's going to be something I encounter this week. Now, just imagine if he would have sat down this boater and just saw, looked at the weather report, looked at all the possibilities, and then said, here's some precautions I need to take with the possibilities. Now revert that over into the spiritual realm. How many people wake up on a day-to-day basis considering the possibilities? What could happen? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day bringeth forth. I was watching Jacob yesterday. Jacob had a responsibility this morning. Now again, it was just the way things worked out, and I'm not putting it all on him, but he had a responsibility this morning, and it was a responsibility that was handed to him, and he was still trying to accommodate everything. But there was moments I wanted to ask him, we blow a tire tonight. If something happens, if somebody crashes into us, I have a backup plan. I've spent 13 years with a backup plan. If I don't come, then Pastor was in an accident last night, but there's capable Timothy men here. There should be capable deacons here. Is everybody okay? Is the amens working today? There should be capable men here today. He doesn't have that, but I'm watching him to see if this is, because you always have to have a backup plan. I tell my wife all the time, I say, you've got an appointment at 10. It's almost like you calculate in your mind, it takes me 20 minutes to get there, so I'll leave at 9:40. With no lights, accident, there's no, and can I say, spiritually speaking, that's how we live? It's foolish because we're not dependent upon God and trying to formulate precautions that take place. Foolish man doesn't even think about it. He just does his thing, moves on, and so on and so forth. He said in verse 3, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. We have to realize that, listen, I don't know what the end of the day looks like. But I have to make sure to stay close enough to God because he does. And to not stay close to him is, as David said, foolish. It's foolish not to stay close to him. Verse 4, he says, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. He says, ye have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion! Exclamation point. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity, and the whole emphasis is we've been looking at these gates. The whole emphasis was that Israel was to lead other people. It wasn't their knowledge that was leading them. It was their obedience that was leading them for somebody else to see. Wow, look at how God leads Israel. Who was it? Rahab the harlot? When the spies, Joshua, had come to her and she says, oh, we're fully acquainted with who you are. We are fully acquainted with who you are. And And I'm paraphrasing basically, and we're kind of fearful of it because we watch the pillar of fire by day or by night, and we watch the clouds by day. We know that there's someone guiding you, that you are not foolish in your approach to this, that when the cloud moves, you move. When the pillar of fire moves, you move. You're not getting too far out. You're not getting too far behind. There is a fear there. You're not being foolish about that. I'm afraid, as we see in the Laodicean church, our other study, we can be very foolish. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. The prudent man, I don't normally try to buy, sell, or trade on the Lord's day, but I had 42 miles to the gallon left. And I came up here by Steele's Corners and it said 279. And I said, Lord, you know, I didn't plan for this. I didn't realize, I didn't get gas before I left. And I pulled in there on the Lord's day. I don't normally buy, sell, I try not to buy, sell, or trade on the Lord's day because it's the Lord's day. And if I didn't prepare for that day, what happened? And I apologized to him. I said, Lord, I should have already known to get gas. I should have already known to do all that commerce before this day because this is your day. Remember, there was a day we did that in America. I know somebody's going to probably blast that and say, well, that was not biblical. It wasn't scriptural. It was just some work of the flesh or whatever. But anyways, there was a day we did that. And there was a reason we did that. And we were a better place when we did that. So I pulled in, got 279, and I said, I apologize. I should have more prepared for it. Because a lot of times the road signs help us to prevent the obstacles down the road, but we don't listen to the road signs. I want to bring you back to verse 1 and then see if we can get somewhere this morning. Again, I'll just find a jumping off place, but I'll at least get to an invitation. I want to draw your attention to verse 1. The Bible says, a fool hath said in his heart. I could probably do another message about what are you saying in your heart? We can sit in church sometimes and say a lot of things in our heart. They might not ever come out of our mouth, but we'll say them in our heart. Jesus was capable of reading the heart. I'm not able to do that, but I know somebody is able to read the heart while I'm preaching, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. The fool that said in his heart, there is no God. He said, they are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. Let's pray. Father, we'd ask you to help us this morning. Help me, Lord, this morning. Help me. I can be so foolish. I can be so foolish in my time, my talent, my treasure, my stewardship of things that you have placed in my hand, my management of time, my management of resources, and Lord, I ask you to, as you have been speaking to my heart and in my own studies, I'd ask you to help me that I might be able to help somebody else, and we can all agree that we need to be more wise about our resources that you've given us, and help us. Help us not to be the fool spoken of in Scripture. Lord, as always, if there's somebody in here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you draw them to yourself, that they'd see something. They'd see their frailty and your faithfulness, and be drawn to you. Help us that know you, Lord, to see as well our frailty and your faithfulness, and run to the cross and run to your feet and say, thank you for giving us yet another opportunity. Help us, I plead, be with those that are not able to be here this morning, Lord. For whatever reasons, if it's foolish, Lord, oh, shame, shame, shame that they just squandered away in a day, in a time to be able to come and worship you and take advantage of it. So help us, I plead, Lord, speak to each and every one of us individually as only you can. We ask you these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we, Cody, Joshua, Jacob, and myself were away this week, I was myself going down memory lane in my mind, and I said to myself several times this week how foolish I was when I didn't know God. I was not born in that area, but I spent a period of my life there, a very fraction of my life there, and I looked around at things, and I said to myself often, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, if I'd only known, if somebody would, and I didn't put the the blame on somebody else. If I only would have known, Cody gave me a book for Father's Day, and it was titled, Dad, Tell Me Your Story. And it's this book, and I mean, all of this is kind of, it's like an intersection of all these things at one time coming together, and there's sections in there. One of the questions specifically was, if you could go back and change anything, what would you change? And man, that page laid open for the longest time because, and I don't want to do my own thought on justice, if I did, would I be here today? If I went back and changed something, would it have drove me to him? But what did drive me to him was squandering things that I could have learned from and being foolish about them. You know what I'm saying? I remember one time I was getting directions from somebody and I just went in and I'm not one of those ones that won't ask for directions. And I walked into the store and I probably bought a pack of gum and I said, hey, I'm trying to get to, this was back before GPS and the phone and everything like that. And I said, I'm trying, oh yeah, know where that is. And I'm sitting there listening to him, nodding my head the whole time. Got back in the vehicle, pulled out. Has anybody ever done this before? And I went, and I don't remember anything that guy just told me. And how much of a fool would I look like if I walked back in and said that again? But can I say this? In our churches all across the world, week after week, I believe faithful preachers are standing up and Sunday school teachers and telling us the way, only to find, I know this as a pastor, I invest hours in people. And then I have those people that I can talk to and say, what in the world? You get frustrated. Spend all that time, give all that direction, give all that guidance. Time is a resource you can never get back. And it is a resource that some people don't even realize the benefit and the fruitfulness of it. And they'll squander yours if you let them. And I said, man, if I only would have listened. And so I was going down memory lane in my mind and said to myself, how foolish I was when I did not know God. How foolish I was when I didn't know God. But I also said to myself, how foolish I can be when I know God. What if this was the last time we met together? And out of all the things God's ever said to you, this is the day you have to get it right. And we think to ourselves, no, I got plenty of time. Got plenty of time. Do you? Not only did I think about days when I was foolish, talk about traumatized, my kids. My sister mentioned a few times where I was foolish. She had to highlight it, you know, and tell the whole story and the whole details of it. As we sat around and we were able to visit everyone and have a time together before we left. And I said, man, my boys are going to think, man, what in the world was wrong with Dad? But again, I say this. If a mistake by... You know sometimes the best way we can learn? Can I say that? Is by the mistakes of somebody else. Ryan, you go into the kitchen and Grandma's in the kitchen. And you don't know really the whole inner workings, all those appliances. And she reaches over and leans for something and puts her forearm on that burner. You know, because they got to... Now, those ones that are like a coil or the ones that have the flame coming out of it, it's pretty obvious. Hot. But those glass ones, you know, that they got, they're just flat and it looks like a countertop and you set your hand on it and you hear... It won't take you. I hope it won't. It won't take you once watching Grandma do that and you go... I learned that thing's hot. I was at one of those hibachi places one time with Avalyn when she was little, and everybody's, why is it we're so psychotic like this when we watch kids experience things for the first time? And he comes in and pours the stuff on the onion and the whole, and she's like, now, mind you, tables are to eat at. They're not to be lit on fire. If you'll just, young people, if you just look around, there's enough of these old gray-haired folks in here that'll make enough mistakes so you don't have to make that same mistake. I hope that by the stories that were shared while we were gone, mine don't make the same mistakes, but then I have to hear their stories. And the mistakes they make, Miss Sam, and I'm sitting here thinking, didn't you learn from my mistakes? And so as I was preparing for this morning's message, I said to myself how foolish all of us can be at times if we're not careful. And many times, sadly, we don't even recognize it or even acknowledge it. I'm going to say this. It's amazing to me how many times, just over the course of the last year, in a Sunday morning service, I'll say, I'll see you tonight. I'll pour out my heart in a message. And then you come back to the evening service, and there's the shuffle. You know, where the attendance in the evening looks different than the attendance in the morning. And I say to myself, for nobody else that wants to be honest, I am not as strong as you. And I look around and I say, how is it they think they're getting away and they're better off? It's almost like you feel sorry for me because I'm bound to have to come back. It's almost like, man, he's so bad off, he needs 3 services a week. Man, I'm doing so good. I only need 1. And I'll guess what? I'll only need 1, and I don't even need Sunday school. I don't need discipleship. Or, man, he's on a roll. Don't let him go fishing again. Or come and then never go to the class. Just walk around the church. Or stand in the foyer. Or get the soundboard going and then just go downstairs and talk consistently, or walk outside, or do whatever. Like, I'm here. No, I know everything the Bible has to know. And I'll tell you on Facebook I do. And then I'll just dance around like I'm good until the bottom falls out. And then God rips it out from underneath you and you start realizing, yeah, I guess I'm not as smart as I'm jealous of y'all. Can I say that? That I'm sitting here holding on my dear life, saying I got to be there because I really believe that the Holy Spirit of God is most active when the congregation is gathered together collectively. And he will speak to the body collectively for what the body needs. But some in the body say, no, I'm good. Can I say this? And you know where I'm going. That's foolish. That's foolish to just see somebody and look at somebody. And you just, it's the old man sitting there going, work smarter, not harder. Some people work harder and they never get to their intended destination. Just out of curiosity this week, I looked up that word fool. You will find it referenced 73 times in Scripture. And there's several different derivations of it. Fool, foolishness, foolish. There's so many. But just the word fool is mentioned 73 times in Scripture. I think that would tell us that God's saying to us, you can be foolish. You can be. I just want you to know in this book I've written to you to help you, to guide you, to lead you, you can be, you have a tendency to be foolish, and I'm going to help you with that. You will find it, as I said, referenced 73 times in Scripture. That at least lets us know that it is a possible characteristic, and it is something worthy to research in Scripture. And again, I am not shooting at anybody. I'm shooting at me. I do not want, the judgment seat of Christ, I heard a preacher say, and I've said this often myself, we ought to live our lives on a day-to-day basis in a view of the judgment seat of Christ. My actions today, my decisions today, my statements today, my posts today, my interaction with my family today, my social media presence today, what impact does that have on my future? Because the Bible says we're going to give an account of every idle word. Our thoughts, our actions, our intentions, all of that are going to be viewed. And when you know that, you know, it's like I said, I keep going back to that boatman. He was foolish. He was being foolish that day. He did not realize the consequences of his lack of preparation in case. I was that parent. I know I was. The kids would be sitting there and they'd be at the dinner table and you see them and their actions. That that glass with ice and everything, it'd be on the corner of the table, and they're doing all this. I was the one, Miss Laura, I go, preventive maintenance. Be careful of this. I'm surprised today at how many Christians live in such a non-preventive maintenance way. Everything's going to be okay. We haven't needed nothing. If it happens, God will fix it, and yada, 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 yada. And I don't want to live, and many people today do not like to live with the consequences of their actions and their decisions. And so as I researched for myself, this word fool, it is worth noting that many times we can be foolish without fully recognizing it. I hope by introduction I've said it enough in my own personal references that somebody else can sit there and say, you may not say amen, but I hope you say in your heart, yeah, I know what Pastor means. I can be very foolish myself. And the only way to fully recognize it is by finding the references and situations in Scripture demonstrating it. You say, well, why is that? Because Scripture's truth, and it's a mirror. Sometimes just by looking in the mirror, I was amazed when I first got saved and I read the Bible and I was going, how does he know that? You know, when you do a general blanket statement like a man born a woman is a few days, and I go, how can that writer know that? He's speaking of man. That's everybody that's a man. It says a man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. How does he know that? I was viewing the writer not understanding the holy man of God spake as they were moved. The Holy Ghost knew that every man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And they are. We don't teach our children to be, well, some do. It's natural for us to be troublemakers. It's just natural. We teach them to be good. We used to. Now we teach them to just chase their heart's desire. And God's a loving God and he'll forgive and everything will be okay and there's no consequences. And so I could do this morning a series on the fool in Scripture, and we all take a test at the end. I want to slow down a little bit. I do want to do a series. I want to look at this fool because I think too many times we're foolish. And let me go back to this because I want to hammer this real good in this day and age because you're making me stumble. When you sporadically just hit and miss church, you're making me stumble. You're causing me to think, is there really a God? Well, Pastor, you know there's a God. Yeah, but when you do it, when I see so many people fall nowadays, and I was telling Jacob this morning, you know what it causes me to you young people? Can I just identify with you for a minute? When I see solid people that have walked with God for a while fall, you know what it causes me to do? Man, I better make sure my step. Because I don't think I'm as good as that guy, and he fell. And how in the world then I start examining, and I'm going, what was it? Did he didn't see? Was he? And then you start examining it, and you start seeing inconsistencies, being rebellious to the Word of God, and then all of a sudden you sit there and say, ah, that's where it started. I don't want to do that because I don't want to fall in the same spot. We don't have enough people to do that because we've got too many people that have understood the goodness of God and say, well, I read somewhere that a righteous man falls seven times, yet riseth again. That's like living the nine lives as a cat. It says a righteous man falls seven times. I've already burnt that up. Yeah. And so I want to do a series on the fool in Scripture. And then I want us to take the test along the way. Can I just narrow it down to the times when we do this study? I want to just narrow it down to the times that Jesus himself, I don't want to look at all the references, but I'm that guy that likes it. You know, when people give certain doctrinal thesis about things, you know, like let's just use one like resurrection. People will say, well, it was Good Friday. Jesus died on Good Friday. What was good? If he died on Friday, what was good about it? And he rose again Sunday morning. And I start, and I'm not that smart, man. Lord knows I went back up in the area. Was it Cody? Was it you trying to be really sweet to me this week? And one of my niece's kids graduated from the high school I graduated from. And it was what? What was it like? 300 and some, 320 some students. And I said, wow. And Josh, or it was Cody, I can't remember which devil it was, said, "Dad, how many graduated from your class?" And I said, 126, and then followed it right up behind. "And what place did you graduate?" Yeah. I was just so encouraged by that. And but I'm not that smart. But when you read what Jesus says, when they asked him about that, he says, as Jonah, now he gives a scriptural reference, as Jonah, the prophet, was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, and somebody debated that with me, it was a great fish, not known in the scriptures, in the belly of a whale, he says, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights. That's pretty descriptive. Now, how is it that we can twist what Jesus said and turn it into our own thing and make a whole new theological thing? Because we do err not knowing the scriptures. So I'm one of them ones that loves to just go back to what Jesus, especially about marriage. I love the one that Jesus says about marriage when they're asking him about marriage and remarriage and all that stuff. You ever seen that one? I love people how they straighten a gnat and swallow a camel. And then they ask him to try and trick him, and Jesus says, he says, Moses gave you a decree of divorcement out of the hardness of your heart. All of a sudden, they're equating Moses to God, and just because he wrote something, it makes it okay. Not realizing that God said to them, Moses, out of the hardness of your own heart, gave you that. He says, but from the beginning, wasn't so. Wasn't so. He says, I never intended it to be that way. Jesus' words over a fallen man through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Can I just say this? Just because someone says something in the Bible, in Scripture, doesn't mean what they said to be absolutely solid. What Jesus intended by what they said behind that, reinforced by other writers of the Bible, that confirms it. And so I don't want to dance all over the place where Solomon might say something about the fool or this one say something about the fool. I would just take those references for me, and I'm just speaking to me because I've been foolish my life. I just want to look at the places where Jesus said, you're foolish, and see what we can learn from it. And let's just take a test. Is that fair enough? All right. All right. I love it. So with that being said, I want to take 5 separate instances. Maybe we'll just look at one this morning. Because Lord knows we're probably going to get to green in the gills with this stuff. You say, preacher, what? Do something happy. Do something. I mean, get excited about it. I am. I'm excited about the judgment seat of Christ. But there's an old me about it. That if I can get the old me down, there'll be a whole lot more excitement when I see him. Because I won't be ashamed of this, knowing that I had the full canonization of Scripture and I was just foolish. Listen, if you're in here and you've been saved any length of time, you should have already read through your Bible at least once. Because there is riches unspeakable that are in there that will keep you and protect you from, can I just use this terminology, from the wrath to come. I do not know what tomorrow holds. The whole thing could fall apart. I'm very appreciative. I was sharing with Andrew the other day. I'm very appreciative of what the stock market's doing right now. After all the naysayers and mully grubbies and, oh my goodness, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. I'm appreciative of that. But I'm also prudent enough to know I can't bank on that. I have to foresee the evil and prepare myself. And not only physically and monetarily, I have to do that spiritually. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I said this, was it Wednesday night? I said this, what happens? I can't imagine what would have happened if the other administration would have gotten in office by now. Have no idea. From what I've already seen in corruption, who knows where we would be today. But if 5-10 years down the road, we get to a place where Bibles are illegal. They're not illegal yet. They've just done enough other versions to muddy the waters so you don't know where to find the truth. And I'm not going to sort through a trash can to find a ham sandwich. But what happens to us today if it's banned, it's illegal, you can't publicly meet, and all you have of the Word of God is what you've memorized? And if we're carnal in this day and age with the full canon of Scripture in our hand, how do you think we're going to be when we don't even memorize it, we don't even know it? And so I want to look at just 5 separate instances that I found where Jesus referred to what someone was doing as foolish or specifically calling them a fool. Now, someone may say, as I myself thought, I thought Jesus taught against saying, or rather calling someone a fool. As I looked into that a bit closer, I think the answer to that question can be clarified by what Jesus, who made the statement, was implying. Let's look at that real quick as we lay the foundation. Matthew 5 and verse 21. Ye have heard, I love this when Jesus said this. He's clarifying, he says, you've already heard this. You've already heard this, let's see what you've done with it. He says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill, I watch so many Christians get so, oh, I believe in the sanctity of life. I believe in life and God and killing and I, you know, we should do this, that, and the other thing to murderers and this, that, and the other thing. And then all of a sudden, watch this. Now here's where it comes into play. And whosoever shall kill should be in the danger of the judgment. He says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Isn't it wonderful to see road rage nowadays? Got to see a little bit of that, not too much of it, but got to see how people drive on the interstate for 6.5 hours, and the turnpike and everything else. It's just amazing how people can get. I mean, if you just go too slow or too fast, and none of us have been there, just pastor. Surely everybody drives within the speed limit, clean record, all that kind of stuff. You're just wonderful, but it's just watching that. He says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And then somebody, I know somebody's going to say, well, it said right there without a cause. I got a cause. Well, I know you do. I know, dude, it's evident you got a cause, and you're going to tell everybody what your cause is. But the cause is yours. It's okay if it's a cause that God says is, and it's amazing, our anger for his causes and our anger for our causes. It says, without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Again, Jesus is pointing to the judgment seat of Christ. He's pointing to a future judgment. He's saying, live today in view of that judgment. He says, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. And so we base this premise that I can't call nobody a fool because that's what Jesus said. He said in verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. I wonder, I say this of myself, nobody else. I wonder how many times I've tithed and gave to missions that week and it was never credited to my record. Because I should have heard the admonition to just leave it there at the altar and go reconcile. See, we think I've tithed of cumin and all that, that says, that Jesus admonishes them for. Look at, we've done this, we've done this, we've done this. He said, no, you've missed the whole thing. It is more important for us, and I know somebody will love to jump on this one. It's more important for us to all walk in fellowship this morning and be united for one cause than it is for you to tithe and give to missions. Because God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can get money out of a fish's mouth, but he can't override our free will to walk in unity with our fellow brother and sister in Christ. And how many churches are divided by that? And you say, what's that have to do with the whole thing? How foolish have we become some days? If you're out with somebody in here this morning, and I think tonight, isn't it tonight the Lord's Supper? If you're out with somebody this morning, how foolish it is for you. My sister and I didn't speak for years. And I called her one day, God convicted my heart, and I called her one day and I said, we got to stop this. This is absolutely foolish. And from that point, I think it was 2017. No, great goodness, I've been here. 2007, I was in South Africa, and I called her and said, we got to stop this. And from that point on, fine. Was there problems? Was there difficulty? Sure there was. But in light of the judgment seat of Christ, it was foolish to harp on those things and miss the bigger picture. So I believe it's safe to say that there is no contradiction in Scripture. Solomon himself even stated, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So Solomon obviously had a cause to call someone a fool if they themselves stated or lived in such a way that showed that they did not live life like there was a God. Now, I will say this again, because I'm going to keep coming back to it. Wednesday night prayer meeting, we'll pray sometimes. And we will start naming people in our church. And it is amazing how full the pews become with bodies when you name people have a connection with our church. But I sit up here when we do that and I say, how foolish those that are not there have become. Because they live in such a way that, see, it's okay sometimes if we get in church and the message is about everybody outside the walls of the church. And we say, yeah, that young person today that's transitioning, that clinic today that's giving them Medicaid, they are so foolish. They don't realize how powerful a God there is that they're going to meet one day. And I say this, how foolish we are sometimes when we don't live our lives on a day-to-day basis in the congregation of the holy in light of the judgment seat when we don't see that same thing from God. So I believe it's safe to say that there's no contradiction. Solomon obviously had a call to come call someone a fool if they themselves stated or lived in such a way that showed they did not live life like there was a God. So I want to look briefly at five specific groups of people, or individual people, if you will, that Christ himself called fools. And again, I'm preaching to me. I really am. I can be foolish. I can get captivated. I can get caught away. I can become carnal. And then how many people, you miss something. And then two or three days later, the Holy Spirit of God, because you're trying to commune with God, and he just reiterates it to you and says, oh, you're a foolish. Why is it? Do we not do it as parents? I'm not trying to pick on my kids, but I look at them sometimes. I see, in my heart, I've gotten to a place sometimes I don't say it out loud. Is there anybody else like that? You say, man, they're just being foolish. God, would you please bring them back and get their compass straight? And then God, I don't know if he does this with any of y'all. He goes, yeah, I know how you feel. I keep tossing a compass in front of you. And you miss it sometimes. And then I get to that place, I think we've all been there, where we say, God, would you please forgive me? And some, you know, God, sometimes, can I just say this? Sometimes God can't operate with other people until he first operates with you. And so I want to look at five people. We'll probably just cover the one this morning. Obviously, with what we have just concluded, he could make that calculation because of the cause that was before him. And so with that being said, I want to preach on this thought this morning. And I think I got one, Alex. I don't know, Dan. The fruit of the fool. Just because you say it's fruit, the devil offered Adam and Eve fruit, but it had worms in it. Sometimes we think that fruit is what is the result of the growth of what you water. And I'm going to come back to it. Somebody's going to say, man, he's just really on that Sunday morning ground, ain't he? I think there's too many people in here that water the Sunday morning, and then they starve it on Sunday night and Sunday school and visitation and all the other activities sometimes, and then you sit there and you've convinced yourself. I think some people have convinced themselves, well, I'm not as bad as the folks out there. And I'm not as bad as the folks that I keep hearing about on Fox News. And those folks there at church, they're just too zealous about it. I'm okay right here. That's foolish. Because for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for ourselves. And I'm going to tell you what, I want other people to push me to get closer to him. I want my boys, my daughter, my grandkids to be far more spiritual than I ever was. And I want to push them as much as I can so they can taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't want to make allocations for the flesh. What is that verse of scripture? Give no provision for the flesh. We've gotten to a place where we give too much provision for the flesh. And so let's preach on this thought, the fruit of the fool. What I mean is that you and I may not have sold out completely to being a full-fledged fool, but rather, and I think we all would agree with this, we can just be foolish from time to time. more time if we'd admit than not. So let's take the test from the scriptures and see if any of us this morning qualify into the category of being called a fool by Christ. Is that okay? Is that an encouraging message this morning? Here's the first one, Matthew chapter 7. We'll just look at this first one because it's 11:52. Matthew chapter 7. I know the book. I know who it's addressed to. I understand that, but there's still lessons that we can learn. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Well, here we go. Let's even back up even further. Verse 13. Man, there's so much in this chapter. I could keep backing up. But Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Now that's a warning to me already not to be foolish that there is a, you know, you see them now. I remember sitting in church one time and it was fairly 3,500 people in there. And some of the stuff was borderline. I said, okay, it's not heresy, but it's not, it's really not scriptural. It's more emotional than anything. And the person said this, the preacher said, look around. Look around. Can this many people be wrong? And I thought to myself, in church. And I thought to myself, they're forgetting. They're being foolish about the admonition. Broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. Can I say this? Numbers are only in a bad way in the Bible. At the judgment seat of Christ, we are not judged for the size. We're judged for the sword. David was punished for numbering Israel. Because why? He was relying on how many are here. Can I win this battle based upon numbers? And he numbered the children of Israel, and God punished him for numbering them. Because it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Gideon learned that lesson a little differently than David learned that lesson. Enter in ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. That's a church house. Don't believe everybody wears a suit and a tie and a dress is spiritual. Ye shall know them, here it is, by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. We wonder why this younger generation is so confused. Because we got so many Facebook pastors that throw some verse of scripture out there. I'm so tired of watching debates on Facebook over scripture. And then we wonder why we've lost a generation of young people, because they sit there and watch the bickering and the complaining and the debating over something, and they see the fruits, the very fruits of your theological debate on Facebook, and then wonder, what in the world? Is this really worth fighting over? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You know what that does to me? It makes me examine myself and say, God, where is the evil fruit in my life? Is there evil fruit? Is there fruit that somebody else shouldn't be eating from in my life? Thank goodness for other people in church. Thank goodness for a church. Thank goodness for other Christians. You know what they do? They keep me accountable. Because I don't want to hurt them. I want them to say, I don't want somebody walking up to me and saying, you're giving me a bad impression of what Christianity really is. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Boy, that's a convicting passage of scripture. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know what that caused me to do, Miss Allison, when I was younger? Find out what the will of God is in the Bible. Because if it's going to condemn me for not doing the will of God, I better find out what the will of God is so I don't fall prey to that. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, many, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? He says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, here we go. Now he's quantifying it. And doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his... You know what we're here to do today? Hear the sayings of the Lord. Hear the sayings of the Lord. And you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to do them. The assembly of the believers to hear the preached word of God is for us to hear what we're responsible to do and then do it. That's it right there. And here's what takes place. If you're not going to read the Bible on your own to find out what to do, you hear it inadvertently while you're at church. That's why some people just say, I don't want to go to church. I don't like what I hear. I don't like what I hear. There's a hear. I've heard people say this before. I feel like you're pressuring me to do certain things. Am I? Or is it just the Bible? Is it just the culpability of the Bible and the responsibility we have when we hear the open? Nehemiah stood in a wooden pulpit and preached the word of God. Why? Because there was a culpability for the nation of Israel to realize they had a city called Jerusalem. It was a city of peace. And the rest of the world should be able to come into that city, which is a picture of the new Jerusalem coming down. And we should be able to find peace at the house of God. Isn't that amazing? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and I said, here is the number one most difficult thing for me as a pastor. To preach the word of God, for people to hear the word of God, and to still watch their houses just absolutely fall apart. And there's a part of you that does this. Anybody ever been a school teacher? Nobody is a school teacher in here. I was a school teacher, believe it or not. Christian school for 10 months. That's where some of this came from. And they'll tell you that they'll try and do things on a curve sometimes, or they'll do this or that. You know why? Because they feel if there's more students that are listening that didn't get it, that it wasn't them that didn't get it, it was them that didn't clarify it. Preachers feel that way. Sunday school teachers feel that way. You're sitting there, you're saying, I'm saying it over and over again. Why isn't anybody getting it? It must be how I'm saying it. No, can I say this? Sometimes it's hearing. So let's take the first test from Scripture and look at the first one. I called this one the careless fool. The careless fool. Sometimes being foolish can happen without realizing it or not prevent it. What I mean by that is you start out with good intentions, and then before you know it, you have drifted into being foolish because you were careless. You come to church and you say, hey, I'm going to church today. Now you got to examine why you're going to church today. Am I going to church today just to socialize with other people? Am I going to church just to see other people? Am I going to church just to get out of the house for a little while? Am I going to church because it's what church people do? Or am I going so I can hear the word of God in Sunday school, which is a discipleship class, where we teach whatsoever, you know, the scriptures say and build people. And then we go out. At the invitation, is there really, now this is an examination to see whether we're careless or not. At the invitation, is there this impetus that says, this is what I heard today. This is what I need to do today. I'm incapable of doing this on my own fruition. I need the Holy Spirit's help to be able to do this. God, I'm going to identify my need for you. I'm going to come to the altar, as been typified all throughout Scripture, and I'm going to say, I need you to help me with this. And guide me and show me and instruct me and convict me when I veer from you so I'm not careless. And I go back to my, when I go into that gas station and say, I'm trying to get this and this address. You know what I was doing when I went in there? I was careless. Because really, if I understood my mind and I knew I forget, then I'm going to walk in there with a piece of paper and I'm going to go, okay, you said front street, take a left, two streets down, take a right. Then I want to go down for 3 miles and then turn left on that next street, and it's the one right next to the red house. And I put that, and then I come back and I verify it. That's it. Now I take that. If I just go in there and I listen to all that, and then I come back, and then I sit there and I watch people do this in the church realm. Get down there and you can't find the house, and then you go, oh, he didn't give me very good directions. We were careless about how we wrote them down. Can I say this, young people, when you, and I appreciate all the notes y'all take. There should be, underline, circle, highlight, exclamation point. You know why? Emphasis, your own emphasis for how God speaks to you. The careless fool. He's careless, number one. Watch this. Verse 26a, because of the problem concerning his hearing. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. I'm going to come back to it. Because I'm going to tell you what, this Sunday morning crowd, you're breaking my heart. And the damage you're doing these young people and your inconsistency. Verse 26a, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. You cause other people to say, well, there must be no consequences if I don't listen. It's a careless person because of the problem concerning our hearing. We don't realize, he that hath an ear to hear, he said to the Spirit, the churches said to the Spirit, Spirit said to the churches, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Sometimes there can be so much going on around. How many times do you find yourself, God speak to you in the middle of the service before you get done? Can I say this? God speaks to me in services too. Be careful of approaching me after services. God's still talking to me. I'm weak. He's talking to me now. Next thing you know, you come up to me and throw something in my lap. I have said to Libby consistently, I'll get to my office. I'll do my little thing. I'll get to the car. These legs don't work real good. Is anybody else besides me don't want to walk the same ground twice? I'll get out to the car and all of a sudden I'll go, I forgot my key on my desk. Because some kid's in there wanting candy, or some adult's in there asking me a question, and so on and so forth. You know what's taking place? I wasn't thinking. I wasn't hearing. I just got careless. I just got careless in my approach, and I wasn't. I have a list. Is anybody else besides me? You have a list that you go through before you leave somewhere? I was telling Cody, I said I felt naked when I left. Let me quantify that statement. I felt left the whole time I was there. I literally, other than the pulpit, carry constantly. And then I'm sitting there and I kept going like this. I said, man, where did I set my pistol down? Where did I set my pistol down? Because I have this little routine. And if you do things routinely, it'll help you. He's a careless fool because of the problem concerning his hearing. Number two, he's a careless fool because of the placement concerning his house, which built his house upon the sand. As a pastor, I'm wrapping it up. It breaks my heart to see how many build a house on sand. Say what you want about the local church. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. And you know what I'm going to do? And I demonstrated to my own children, I'm going to build my house as close to that as I can possibly get. Where we were at this week, Brother Miller, it's amazing to me, all these houses that are built on the Thousand Islands. Joe's been there, Miss Linda's been there, all the contingencies. They put them. They don't put them on the beach. They don't put them over here. They anchor those things. They cement those things. That bolt castle picture I posted, that is on rock. Why? Because the weather there, the conditions there, the wind there, the water there can wash that thing away. They build them on a rock. How many parents in here this morning have said you could go back and say, you know, I didn't fully position my house on a rock. Had it half on the rock, half on the sand. I was in one minute, I was out the next minute. I wanted to enjoy the best of both worlds. When you want to enjoy the best of both worlds, your children will suffer for it drastically. He's a careless fool because of the problem concerning his hearing, verse 26, because of the placement concerning his house, which built his house upon the sand. Number three, verse 26b, because of the promise concerning his hesitation. Verse 26b says, and doeth them not. Verse 27 says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. He's a careless fool because of the promise concerning his hesitation. You're very old, Miss Laura, Brother Todd, Declan's six. Momentary hesitation. I'm just saying this, we're all family here. Momentary hesitation, Brother Todd, where church attendance isn't important. Momentary hesitation. Well, I got this, and I got that, and I got this. Every one of those is banked into his account because it's not guaranteed. There's nobody in here that your children are guaranteed salvation and walk into the streets of gold. Every decision, everything you hear, everything is banking on the fact that there will be a moment where the Holy Spirit, your child, he can talk to that child and that child surrender himself. Ryan, when did you got saved here, church? What year? 2022. Matt, you're still playing softball. Nominally attending church. 2022, softball season wasn't going on. He didn't come to church. Where's Ryan? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's careless. See, it's sobering, isn't it? The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. I have to walk circumspectly. One misturn, one momentary lapse in spirituality can cause an eternal impact. And you know what the devil will do? It's just one bite. It's just one bite. It'll give you, what did he say to her? It'll make one wise. I've said this before and I hammer this all the time. You stay out of church for a little tummy ache, and then next thing you know, Monday morning, you get up and go, I gotta go to church. I gotta go to work. You're thinking about momentary monetary compensation. You're not thinking of eternal spiritual regret. The careless fool, and I'm speaking to me, how careless I can be sometimes and don't think I got to be at the right place and the right time doing the right thing. It's difficult. That's why he empowers us with the Holy Spirit. The careless fool, because of the problem concerning his hearing, because of the placement concerning his house, because of the promise concerning his hesitation. Listen, it's going to rain on the righteous as well as the unrighteous. Everybody's going to get wind. Everybody's going to get rain. Everybody's going to get floods. Well, some of us are going to get floods. It happens to all of us, but watch this. It's where you place your perspective. Where do I want my house? I don't really think there's much I can expound on after we hear what Christ thinks concerning this fool who was careless because he hesitated to heed and hear the message of where to build his house. Let me ask you this and we're done. When it comes to home building, are you being foolish? Are you a careless fool based upon Jesus' assessments, not pastors? I got to build my house on a rock because when these things come, he is going to be the one that protects me. Why? Because I heeded his promises that if I don't, this is the damage. We live in a day where there's no culpability anymore. Just open up Facebook and look at reels of all the people. Call my mommy. What are you doing? I mean, literally walking out of stores with thieving and then stop them and say, No, I didn't do it. No consequences from their actions whatsoever. We are living in one of the most damning societies today where we do not believe there's consequences for our actions because we're careless, because we don't realize that Jesus is coming. And he's coming, and this time he's coming, and it ain't looking good. He's coming on a horse, and his vesture's dipping blood, and he's got a sword in his hand. He came the first time, he's very compassionate. The second time he's coming, he's conquering. And you know what I want to do? Your dad's coming home. Your dad's coming home. I'm going to tell you what, any kid that heard that term when they were coming up, they were thinking about it. Now people can be saying all the time, your dad's coming, your dad's coming. Where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue on from the days. Father, we'd ask you to help us today. Help me. God, I'll be honest enough, stand in the pulpit, help me to not be so careless with my time, my talent, my treasure. Help me to heed the warnings. Lord, I believe your return is imminent, but I don't want to be asleep. I don't want to be careless. I don't want to be foolish. I want to be in the full will of God when it comes. I don't want to be sitting there banking on, well, this person's carnal and I'm not, and I'll hedge my bets on this or that or the other thing. Help me, Lord, not to be careless. Help me to be very seriously looking for your appearing and studying the scriptures until you come. God, speak to us individually as only you can. Thank you for these admonitions in scripture. Thank you for them. Thank you, you care so much for us. Thank you as a father that loves your children. You don't want to see us fail. So help us, Lord, to hear what you have to say and build our houses upon the rock and establish our goings, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.